saving money in your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need for keeping your outdoor power equipment in tip-top shape. Ensure your lawnmower or boat is running smooth this year. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale. View our entire selection of FVP batteries today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of the great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword LoveSport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchlow, between 2 and 3 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. If you want to get in contact with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Loughborough Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. As I mentioned a few moments ago, we're going to be turning our attention to all things Cardiff City and to talk about their draw last weekend's derby and looking ahead to this weekend's action. I'm delighted to say that Ben James, writer and founder of View from the Ninian, joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Ben. Let's look back at last week. It's been a week now since Cardiff's 1-1 draw away at Derby, an enthralling draw. How did you see that? How do you, a week on, assess that 1-1 draw?
Yeah, I think it was slightly disappointing to come away with a draw. I think we probably could have got the win there, but I think we've last time we played Derby, I think we managed to conspire to lose 3-0 while we were at Pride Park. So I think going there this season with the start of the season we've had and getting the draws pretty good. I think it was great to see Glatzel get his first goal, albeit from the penalty spot, but I think, you know, a new striker coming in, getting his first goal after a few games, that's going to do him the world of good. And I think hopefully it'll give them the confidence to push on this weekend.
Looking at some of the statistics from that game, Cardiff only had 36% possession. Does that really come as a surprise? We're talking about a Neil Warnock side. He's a pretty pragmatic coach away from home at Derby. Is that really a surprising statistic that Derby had the lion's share of possession?
No, absolutely not. I think I've spent a bit of this season looking at stats myself, and I think we always average around 40-45% of possession, and we don't have the ball a lot, but we're very direct when we get the ball. I think if you delve deeper into the stats and look at how, say we have 36% of possession and we only make 300 passes, but I think 100 and 150 of those passes would be going forward into the attacking third. And I think Warnock's side, we're always a direct side. We get the ball down and we get it forward as quickly as we can. And I think, you know, Derby are under Koku, I think, are going to try and play a more possession-based football while we're more focused on just doing what we can with the ball when we have it. And if that means getting it forward direct and only doing that in one or two passes, then that's what we're going to do under Warnock. And it served us well last time we got promoted. It served us well last season. I think it's been, you know, like I said, it's been a bit of a stop-start to the season. But I think when we get back into the swing of things and we start making the ball work for us, we can be a very effective attacking side with that lack of possession.
Looking at some of the comments that manager Neil Warnock said after the game against Derby, he said, I think the quality in the final third let us down again tonight. I thought that was the same in one or two games. Why is it that Cardiff are struggling to score plenty of goals? Why are they lacking that cutting edge when it gets to the crucial part of the field?
It's really hard to say, really. I think when you look at the attacking players we have, you know, we have people like Glatzel up front who've come from scoring, I think he scored about 18-19 goals in Germany last season. We've got good wingers in Murphy, White, Hoyler and Mendes Lang. But I think, I don't know what it is this season. We just look quite disjointed going forward. And I think a couple of seasons ago, we had Callum Patson pitching in with goals. We had Hoyler pitching in with goals. And we had Zahor scoring goals. But this season, we haven't really had a steady person kind of scoring on a regular basis this year. I think Rels has got a couple of goals. But apart from that, we've got a few players on one goal each. And I think I just think we need to settle down with the team we're playing. I think we've chopped and changed our wingers quite a lot in the opening games. We played people like Vassell. We've played Glatzel. We've had Bogle coming off the bench. And I think we just need to kind of pick our front three, whether that's Murphy, Mendes, Lang and Glatzel, or Murphy, Glatzel and someone else, and then decide on who's going to play that number 10 role. Because I think Tomlin's kind of come in and he's not really hit the ground running yet because he's been, you know, been out of football for the last 6 months or so. And I think as soon as we kind of we get one or two goals from our number 10 and our strikers, then I think we'll we'll see kind of a bit of a deluge, really.
It's now 4 unbeaten in the league for Cardiff, and Neil Warnock said that he believes they're starting to hit their stride despite injuries to key players. Is it all about for Cardiff, not necessarily that the players on the field, but it's the psychology they go on with, the confidence that they play with? If they can get on a bit of a roll, then things will start clicking. That, for example, the attacking part of the game, that's all really actually down to confidence more than the quality on the pitch.
I think so, and I think it comes down to the fact that we have had a lot of new players come in. We've got a kind of a new way of playing, and the players who were regularly there maybe a couple of years ago aren't there now. And I think it's always the same with the Warnock side. I think he's very good at building that team mentality. And I think if we get on a roll of maybe 2 or 3 wins, and I think we could go sort of 10, 15 games unbeaten, really, where we really show them what we can do. And I think a couple of years ago when we did get promoted, we started the season so well. I think we went 5 games in a row, the first 5 games of the season as we won, and then we drew the 6th game. And I think this year it's been a bit kind of opposite to that. We kind of started off on a bad foot, and I know we're 4 games unbeaten at the moment, but we really need to start turning those draws into wins. And I think as soon as one clicks, and you know, we see players like Glatzel hitting the ground running with their goals, we get a result like maybe tomorrow against Middlesbrough, and I think we could go on a bit of a roll, really, at maybe 4 or 5 wins.
A bit of positive news then for Cardiff is the fact that Philippines international goalkeeper Neil Etheridge is vying for a first-team return. He's been sidelined since damaging a hamstring in the opening day defeat to Wigan. He played for the under-23s this week. He could come back into the side for tomorrow's game against Middlesbrough. Alex Smithies has been the first choice. How much do you think that Cardiff have missed Etheridge? And is it a guarantee that if he is fit, then there is no doubt that he comes in tomorrow?
Yeah, I think if he's fully fit, he'll start the game. I think Etheridge is kind of he's one of 3 players we've kind of missed this year in terms of our kind of spine of our squad. I think we signed Marlon Pack on the final day of the transfer window, and he came in and showed instantly why he's going to be a key player in there. Then he also got injured, and I think Sol Bamba being out for the end of last season, going into the start of this season, has also caused us problems as well. And I think That will ease our stability, because we're used to playing with Etheridge and we know the way he plays. Well, Smithies has never really played for the club before, bar a few League Cup appearances last year. And I think that kind of destabilised us, especially when you were bringing in Flint as a new centre-half in place of Manga. And I think that he was kind of almost like the tipping point of that stability. And I think if he's fit, he'll come back in, just for that reason, really, that he is one of our key players. He's our number one goalie, and he's cemented that position over the last few years.
As I mentioned, Ben, obviously up next, it's Middlesbrough home tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock kickoff. Middlesbrough on the same number of points. They're just a position above Cardiff. Does that suggest that this is quite an even game, and it's quite a tough game to call?
I think so. And I think Middlesbrough, they're a bit of an unknown quantity this year. I think they've gone through their changes with the new manager Woodgate coming in. They've perhaps lost a few players, but they've also kept hold of people like Asamoah Belonga and Ashley Fletcher. And I think they're just getting into their stride as well. I think I looked into their results recently, and they've kind of had a few games where they've dominated, but maybe not come away with the win. And I think they'll be looking at coming in tomorrow and hoping that we can be, you know, the result that kicks out their season as well. It's Middlesbrough, they're a bit of a championship stalwart now. And I think if we can get the win tomorrow, I think that will really set our stall out for the next few games. Because like you say, they are around us in the league, and we need to start kind of putting space between us and a few of those other teams that are around us to really, you know, sort of show what we're about.
And just finally then, Ben, a prediction for the game tomorrow. Are you confident that Cardiff will get all 3 points?
Yeah, I think so. I think unbeaten in the last 4 in the league, we've got good results against Fulham and Derby. I think Glatzel started scoring. A few players are coming back, and on the verge of coming back, which will give us a boost. And I think we'll win 2-0, and I think it'll be the start of a bit of a run for us.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Ben. That was Ben James, writer and founder of View from the Ninian, giving his views on Cardiff, who have made a bit of a stop-start season. As I mentioned, there have been some kind of up-and-down results. There have been quite a few injuries they've had to contend with. As I mentioned there, Neil Etheridge, who arguably was Cardiff's best player quite comprehensively last season in the Premier League, was probably the reason why Cardiff didn't lose more games. He was a fantastic player, good shot stopper, good penalty stopper, and certainly did a good job for Cardiff. So he's been a blow being out early doors. It has been a bit of a problem for Cardiff scoring goals, actually, this season. So Neil Warnock will be hoping his side get back to scoring ways, is getting back to winning ways, because the last few results they have had a few draws in the last few games. You look at the last four results for Cardiff: a 1-1 draw away at Derby, a 1-1 draw at home against Fulham, a 3-0 defeat at home against Luton in the EFL Cup, and then a 0-0 draw away at Blackburn in the Championship. So three draws in their last three Championship games. They'll be hoping to get back to winning ways at home tomorrow afternoon against Jonathan Woodgate's Middlesbrough. So that's all things Cardiff. I'm giving you an update just on some of the big stories this afternoon in the world of sport. Currently ongoing is the second practice session over in Singapore. There was a big crash in first practice for Mercedes' Valtteri Bottas, and Red Bull's Alexander Albon has crashed in this second session. We're coming right towards the end in the final few moments of that, and Lewis Hamilton, who is one of the favourites for this weekend's action, he is currently the fastest in second practice. Max Verstappen in the Red Bull, that is expected to challenge the Mercedes most this weekend, he is currently second in that practice session. Japan have won the opening game of the 2019 Rugby World Cup. They beat Russia by 30 points to 10 in a bonus point victory in the first game of not just Pool A, but of the tournament. England have announced their side to play Tonga on Sunday. It sees the return of the Ford-Farrell axis at 10 and 12. Ireland obviously take on Scotland on Sunday. So that should be a good game between the two home nations. Looking at some of the press conferences that have been happening today around the Premier League. We have heard from Frank Lampard this afternoon, who says that Mason Mount's injury is not serious. He could come in to contention for Sunday's game, which is at home at Stamford Bridge against Liverpool. Jurgen Klopp has said that Naby Keita has returned to training today, but could be too soon for him on Sunday. Alisson is progressing well, but he is not fit enough for today. We could, in theory, see in that game the return of Callum Hudson-Odoi after quite a long injury. He obviously has signed a new 5-year deal yesterday, understood to be worth more than £120,000. And N'Golo Kante is also close to a Chelsea return. He missed the game against Valencia in midweek due to an ankle injury, and Frank Lampard has said that he has got a chance of playing in that game against Liverpool. So that's some of the news that we are bringing you this afternoon from the world of sport. We're going to obviously continue looking ahead to the Championship action this week. Up next, we're going to be talking about a side that travels to the Den tomorrow to take on Millwall. That's QPR. They won 3-2 against Luton at home last weekend. They're currently 7th on 13 points. So a pretty good start for QPR. We'll be talking to Gav Lawson from Ranger Things next.
Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Creshard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Up after me, it'll be Posh Boys on Drive. Johnny Burr and Guy Watts will be joined by Ewan Thomas. So make sure you stay tuned here on Love Sport between 3 and 7 o'clock this afternoon. As I mentioned a few moments ago, we're going to be talking all things QPR. And I'm delighted to say that joining us this afternoon is Gav Lawson from Ranger Things, the QPR Fan Show, which you can catch on Love Sport every Tuesday from 9 until 10. Good afternoon, Gav. It's been a pretty good start for QPR. Before we talk about where they are in general, a 3-2 win against Luton at home last weekend, a game that QPR raced into a lead. Were you a little bit concerned at the fact that they gave two goals away and nearly threw it away?
Hi, mate. Yeah, I was pretty concerned. I mean, it's kind of, it's kind of classic Rangers, to be honest. Three goals up, being three goals up and playing great football is not classic Rangers, but we were looking so good at that point that becoming complacent is just typical of us. The first being a howl of a mistake from the keeper, and then a sloppy one, and then after that, and missing a handful of chances, and that's what we tend to do when we're so comfortable, where complacency does slip in, and then we were really kind of holding on at the end. Having said that, we hit the bar twice, and Hugh Gill could have scored three, and it could have been out of sight, and should have been, really. But I mean, you know, we do make it hard for ourselves, even when we look like we're playing really well.
Looking at things then in general for QPR, it's been a pretty good start to the season. You must be pretty happy. 7th on 13 points, level on points actually, with West Brom and Preston, who are currently sat in the playoff spots. How would you assess the start of the season? Would you have thought the start of the season at QPR would have made such an impressive start?
Not really, but I mean, you know, he brought in 14 new players, and so we know what Warburton's capable of, having seen it. Brentford, but I didn't expect it to happen so quickly. And you know, the team have gelled very, very fast. They all look like they've been playing together for a long time. To be honest, about a week before the start of the season, I was nervous because up front we were looking very, very light. And then we bought in Hugo and Wells. And then, you know, they've made the difference. The team looks like it's got goals in it. Eze has really stepped up this season, and so has Chair. And we've got some really dangerous players. And, I mean, as I said, you know, we've got some good loans, but also a couple of the youngsters have really come through. And the only reason we're not further up the league is because of individual errors. We really need to cut those out. I mean, without that, I think we'd be, you know, we would have had another 4 points if we just didn't lose our concentration. So I'm very happy. We're all very happy at the moment.
You mentioned two names there that have contributed a number of goals so far. Jordan Hugo scored 5 goals. Obviously made that move to West Ham for about 10 million. Didn't really play at all there, but he's scored 5 goals already. Naki Wells, who also knows this league pretty well, he scored 4 goals. The QPR will be pretty delighted they brought them in, and they're surely going to be a massively important players for QPR going forward.
Absolutely. And I mean, you can see in the Championship, this is why they both signed Premier League sides for what, 8 to 10 million each, because at this level, they are very dangerous. So that's a stroke of genius, bringing those two back in. They haven't quite made it, or really haven't been given the chance, I think, in Burnley and West Ham. So, you know, for us to get both of them is really very impressive. And I think they're both enjoying themselves because of the creativity around them. You know, we do have a lot going forward. Last season, you know, Wells started really well, and then he kind of just very much tailed off. Hammond didn't do a lot, and it was really all the pressure was on Wells. He's mentioned last week in an interview that he prefers being the lone striker, but, you know, playing off of Hugo also seems to work for him, because, you know, he can go down the wide, down the flanks, and just be there for the knockdowns. So we're a lot less one-dimensional than we were last season. I mean, we're all a bit surprised. Sorry, we're all a bit surprised that we let Matt Smith go to Millwall, to be honest, because when things weren't working, then we used to shove him up front and, you know, smack the ball in the air to him. And it wasn't great to watch a lot of the time, but it's effective. And we can see from the last 4 goals Millwall have scored, I think he's been responsible for 3 of them. So he's always a danger.
You mentioned, Gav, obviously, the name of Millwall, and that is obviously QPR's next opponent. It's a massive game at the Den, a 3 o'clock kickoff tomorrow afternoon. Are these the types of games, as a QPR fan, I'm sure that your counterparts will also do so, that you really look forward to in a season?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not going to actually make the game, sadly. But, yeah, I mean, London derbies, you know, you always see that the players are going to be up for it. We had a really good one up there last season towards the end. I think it ended 0-0, but there was a lot of drama, and it was, you know, both teams played pretty well. And yeah, I expect we're probably going to get a draw, I would have thought, because we normally 8 out of the last 12 games against Millwall have ended up in draws. But yeah, it's never an easy game going up there, and they've ground out some good results this season. They look like they're playing some decent stuff. So it's going to be a tough one for sure.
QPR have not won 4 consecutive league matches since January of 2014. Is that kind of QPR's biggest problem, the lack of consistency? And therefore, going into this game, what do you think Mark Warburton will do with the team? Because does he change a winning team, or does he look to potentially freshen things up a little bit?
I don't think he should change it. I mean, we have had a few weeks off with the international break, so Cameron is probably going to be match fit again. So arguably he can come in just in front of the back three, because Dominic Ball's played okay. He's played okay, but he's probably him or Scowen are the replacements. They've probably been the weakest links. So possibly there, but other than that, no, I wouldn't change it. I'd keep Chair in the side because he's looking dynamite. And other than that, I'd keep it exactly as it is. There's been some talk of dropping Lumley because of that howler, but I don't think you can drop a keeper because of one or two individual errors when essentially the team's playing well and everyone else is behind him, because it's a perfect way to kill a goalkeeper's confidence. So I'll keep him in as well.
One thing that's not a particularly good omen for QPR is that Millwall are unbeaten in their last 6 home league matches against QPR, although 8 of the last 12 league meetings between Mill and QPR have ended as draws. Mm-hmm. Are these the types of places that you, obviously, you look forward to these games, but away at the Den, we all know how difficult a ground that is to go to. Are these the types of grounds that you take a big gulp and you just hope that you don't have a tough afternoon?
Normally I'd say yes, but Stoke away on the opening game this season, I know they have, they're having a dire season, but that was looking like a tough game. Sheffield Wednesday away was looking like a very tough game. So I think we're able to compete and we've got enough going forward. As long as we keep our concentration, we haven't got a lot of pace in the back three. The back set three centre backs, but they're all good in the air, and they're going to have to be good in the air if they're going to keep Smith quiet. I'm not afraid of anyone in this division at the moment, based on how we've been playing. Even the games that we've lost, Swansea, we lost another one, Bristol City. We've been in the game, and it could have gone, if it wasn't for individual errors, we could have got something out of both of those games. I'm not really scared of anyone at the moment.
And just finally, then, Gav, let's have a prediction. Millwall v QPR, always a feisty encounter. How do you see this one playing out?
I'm going to go for 2-2.
2-2. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon,
Thank
Gav.
You.
That was Gav Cheers, Lawson from Ranger Things. The QPR Fan Show, remember that you can catch the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport every Tuesday evening between 9 and 10 o'clock. So make sure you don't miss that. If you're a QPR fan out there, the QPR Fan Show with Ranger Things between 9 and 10 o'clock every Tuesday evening.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Championship Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Then after me, it'll be Posh Boys on Drive. Johnny Burrow and Guy Watts will be joined by Ewan Thomas. So make sure you don't go anywhere between 3 and 7 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Obviously, we're still looking ahead to the Championship fixtures this weekend. And our next club that we're going to be talking about is Reading. I'm delighted to say that to join us to preview their game against Blackburn this weekend, we are joined by Nicholas Tunney from the Reading Chronicle. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Nicholas. Looking back at last weekend's game, though, first, a 1-0 loss away at Middlesbrough. Perhaps it was a little bit tough on Reading. They did have some late chance in that game. How do you look back on that game? Is that an opportunity missed for Reading away at Middlesbrough?
Yeah, it was. You know, I think Reading deserved at least a point from that match. Middlesbrough started the game on the front foot, but then Reading, you know, controlled the game for large spells. They had good possession. They kept the ball well. And the goal really was a kick in the teeth. You know, it was a free kick from out wide. Ghosted right into the area. No one touched it. Went right into the far corner. And as Gomez said to me after, you know, it was a strange goal to lose to. And then, you know, Reading really piled on the pressure. They brought Puskas on, brought Lucas Xiao on. And Darren Randolph made two or three, you know, world-class saves to deny Reading a point. So, yeah, it was definitely a missed opportunity. I think if they play like that, they'll certainly win more than they lose.
After the game, Reading boss José Gomes said he talked about how George Puskas, Lucas Joao, Pelé didn't start. Obviously, with Pelé and Puskas, they travelled for their national team, but that wasn't the only reason why they did not play. I suppose, first, obviously, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but was it the right decision not to play these players? And does it maybe highlight that there is quite a lot of focus, emphasis, importance of those players in this Reading side?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, Puskas played twice for Romania in that international break, and you know, against Spain, he was fantastic. You know, Jose alluded to the Charlton game where, you know, they lost 2-0 before that international break, and you know, neither player performed particularly well. So he's not afraid to make the tough decision, if you like. I actually thought Yacu Mate played really well in their place, especially in the first half. He caused Ryan Schott on a few problems. You know, Puskas in particular was pretty anonymous when he came on in the second half. You know, I think not just the way they played against Charlton, but also a little bit of tiredness maybe crept into their legs. Zhao, I mean, he's been really good over the years. You know, Sheffield Wednesday before that as an impact sub, and he did well when he came on at the Riverside Stadium. But, you know, it showed that Gomez isn't afraid to make the tough decision. It shows that Reading do have the strength and depth if he feels that Puskas and Zhao could be left out. As I say, Mata, I thought, did particularly well in the first half, and it was just unfortunate that Reading couldn't get at least the point.
If we take a look then, Nick, as generally Reading starts the season 7 games in and they have as many points, they're currently 17th. How do you assess it? Is it a case of just getting a little bit of confidence, a little bit of momentum going? I mean, that word's branded around momentum quite a lot in the Championship. But is it a case of just getting a couple of wins? They've had some good wins. There was a 3-0 home win that springs to mind where Puskas had a great game, obviously a famous name, and also had a pretty good game. But is it just a case of Reading and getting a couple of wins on the board and then things will start to flow from there?
Yeah, I think so. And the manager certainly thinks that. Having spoken to him this week, he was in really upbeat mood. And he thinks that, you know, if they win on Saturday, he thinks they can go on a really good run. And, you know, as I say, if they perform like they did against Borough, you know, there's no reason why they can't. You know, back at the Medeski, where they've only won once this season. But, you know, the performance levels are there. He was talking about a great team spirit that they've got at the moment. All the players are getting on. It's like one big family. And, you know, apart from the Charlton game, really, and maybe the first game of the season before these new players came in, they played pretty well in the majority of the games. So if they can replicate that kind of performance against Cardiff, against West Brom, Huddersfield, and even the Borough performance, you know, I see no reason why they can't propel themselves up the table. You know, he touched upon the fact that Norwich was 16th at this time last season in the Championship, and look what happened to them. So, yeah, it is all about getting momentum and, you know, these new players coming in, still a bit of work for them to gel and get into the team.
Let's take a closer look then at tomorrow's game. As I mentioned, it's a home game against Blackburn. In terms of team news, striker Danny Loader and on-loan defender Matt Miazga are both doubts. How do you think José Gómez will approach this game in terms of selection from last week's defeat against Middlesbrough? How many changes do you think we might see for tomorrow's game?
Well, I think Puskás and João will actually start, or I certainly think Puskás will. You know, Swift and Ajaria, for me, have been in very good form. They're key players at the moment in that midfield. I think, you know, the back three of Morrison, Moore and McIntyre will remain the same with the two full-backs of Yeardom and Richards. So I think if the only changes are going to be made will be up top. Maitei got a bit of a knock last week in the head. A bit of a controversial moment involving Adam Clayton, but sort of that's water under the bridge now. But I do believe that Puskás will definitely start. And if, you know, if he can replicate his performance against Cardiff, you know, the Blackburn defence are going to be in for one hell of a game.
Reading have lost their last two league matches, Nicholas, without scoring. They last lost three in a row without finding the net back in April 2015. How did Reading go about changing that run and look about scoring against Blackburn tomorrow?
Well, firstly, I hope they don't find, you know, Blackburn's keeping as good a form as Darren Randolph last week. You know, that's one thing. You know, they do need to be a bit more clinical with the finishing. As I say, the performance-wise, there was nothing really wrong last week at the Riverside. It's just they need to find the net. I believe if they score early on Saturday, you know, Blackburn could very well have a long afternoon. And they've just got to keep, you know, performing to the level that they have, with the exception of that Charlton game. And, you know, I think the goals will come. I think, you know, Puskás, after that Cardiff game, he may have gone slightly off the ball, but, you know, he showed his quality against Spain a couple of weeks ago. And, it, you know, Swift has been in great form. He's created a lot of chances this season. I think created the most chances in the Championship before last Saturday's game. And Ajaria as well has been really good in the past few games. So if those players can kind of maintain that form and Puskás can find the net again, I'd be confident of a win on Saturday.
Reading have a pretty good recent record against Blackburn. They've won three of the last four league matches and drew the other one. Obviously, kind of the biggest threat will probably come from Blackburn's Bradley Dack, who scored three goals this season. How important is it that Reading nullify that threat? And if they do so, are you confident, if we have a prediction, that Reading will get all 3 points to the Medeski tomorrow?
Yeah, he's a very good player. You know, he showed that over the years at lower levels with the likes of Gillingham, and very intelligent footballer, good finisher. You know, he's a tough player to play against, but as you say, you know, Michael Morrison, especially Morrison, has been in really good form, I think, for Reading this season. So if they can kind of maintain that threat, I know Dack likes to get in between the lines, so he's going to be hard to pick up, but if they can watch him, I think Reading will win 3-1 on Saturday. I'm pretty confident that the Royals can get back to winning ways at the Medeski.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Nicholas. That was Nicholas Tooney from the Reading Chronicle talking us through all things Reading. Their 1-0 loss away at Middlesbrough, perhaps a little bit unfortunate not to pick up all 3 points. They're back in action tomorrow against Blackburn at home. As I said, Reading have a pretty decent recent record. They've won three of the last four games. The other game was a draw. And as we mentioned, one of the biggest threats from Blackburn, Bradley Dack, perhaps still a surprise that he's still in the Championship and hasn't made the move into the Premier League. But Reading will have to look out for him. But having the likes of Puskás and João back in the starting lineup tomorrow will surely be a big boost for Reading at home at the Medeski Stadium. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff tomorrow afternoon. Reading versus Blackburn. Love Sport.